Life went on for the Angel Fields, sans parties, sans hunt meetings, sans housemaids, and sans most of the things that people of their class took for granted in those days. They forgot about the world, and for a time the world forgot about them. And then they remembered. It was to do with money. There were other large houses in the vicinity, other more or less aristocratic families. Among them was a man who took great care of his money. He sought out the best advice, invested large sums where wisdom dictated, and speculated small sums where the risk of loss was greater but the profit, in the case of success, high. The large sums he lost completely. The small ones went up moderately. He found himself in a pickle. In addition, he had a lazy, spendthrift son and a goggle-eyed, thick-ankled daughter. Something had to be done. George Angelfield never saw anyone, hence he was never offered financial tips. When his lawyer sent him recommendations, he ignored them, and when his bank sent him letters, he did not write back. As a consequence of this, the Angelfield money, instead of expending itself chasing one deal after another, lounged in its bank vault and grew fat. Money talks. Word got out. "Doesn't George Angelfield have a son?" asked the wife of the near bankrupt. "How old would he be now? 26? And if not the son for their Sibylla, then why not the girl for Roland?" thought the wife. She must be reaching a marriageable age by now, and the father was known to dote on her. She would not come empty-handed. "Nice weather for a picnic," she said, and her husband, in the way of husbands, did not see the connection.